And we have got to move into a place of a seriousness before the Lord that we don't allow things to distract us. We don't allow our phones to distract us. I'm guilty. We don't allow, oh, what am I going to eat after service to distract us. We don't let, oh, I've got to do such and such tomorrow morning distract us. We don't allow, oh, there was a hiccup at home before I got here distract us. Anybody else have those kind of distractions? We can't let that, oh, it's a little hotter in here than we'd like. Oh, my goodness, it's 95 degrees outside. What do you expect? It has nothing to do with the building. It's a hot day. Okay? But we can't let that distract us from, we're going to press into the presence of God no matter what. So, along with everything else that's gone tonight, invite Holy Spirit to show you what's in your heart this week that's holding you back from pursuing the full-on presence of Almighty God. Because when you encounter Him, you will be changed, because you can't gaze into His beauty and not be changed. It's impossible. But I want to behold Him. If I don't do anything else the rest of my days, I want to behold Him. Because that's where transformation is. We talk about wanting to transform this city. The only way this city will ever be transformed is a face-to-face encounter with the living God. And sometimes that face-to-face encounter with the living God is going to be through you. In fact, most of the time. He could do it supernaturally, but most of the time, it's going to be through you and you and you and you. As you walk in, as we talked a couple of weeks ago, as a glory gate into wherever you walk and where you are, you're a gate of glory, and somebody walks in, they go, whoa. Holy Spirit hits. Holy Spirit begins to do what only He can do. See, God's getting real with this stuff. We could talk theory. How many of us have sat into a whole bunch of services over our lives that were lots of theology, which is the theory of God? Okay? It's good. We need it. But then God wants to bring it into a place where it's real. It's where the rubber meets the road. And we know how to apply what we have heard into our day-to-day living. How do we respond to Him? So I am going to continue tonight our series on gates. 3 weeks ago, we did gates being as gates of entrance. It's where we come in and out of things, right? Gates of protection, where gates get shut to determine who comes in and who doesn't come in. You know, the gate of our city needs some watchmen on the walls and some gatekeepers to keep evil from coming in and out of our city. Chuck Pierce released a prophetic word on Wednesday that the voice in Atlanta, I don't see if I can say this right, the voice in Atlanta of evil was going to be overtaken by a rise of the voice of the prophets. Come on. That gate needs to be opened. So we call forth the voice of the true prophets into this city in this hour in Jesus' name. So gates are for entrance, they're for protection, but gates are also gates of government. There are gates where the elders sit in the gate. If you look biblically, they sit there to make judgments and decrees to establish in matters of dispute between people. Do we need some elders in the gate that know how to work out disagreements and disputes, that know how to bring the righteous decrees of the King into our city? And then we're gates of glory. Then the next week we talked about being gates of praise. And I asked you last week, how many of you, once we released that word about gates of praise, got hit with things you had to really muster it up to praise through? I mean, I started getting texts and phone calls and emails going, I'm being tested in that word. I mean, by the next morning. But see, we got to learn how to praise our way through. We've got to praise to honor and extol the Lord to prepare the way. See, praise prepares a way for the king to come in. But praise also establishes a throne upon which the King of Glory comes and sits. He comes and sits to rule and reign in righteousness upon the throne created by our Tehillah. And then last week we started on Gates of the Holy Spirit, the promise, the person. We looked at the person of Holy Spirit, and there's no way I covered all the attributes of the person, but we talked about that he was the promise of the Father. He's the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. He is the Spirit of revelation. When the Holy Spirit moves in on us, he reveals hidden things. He reveals things that we didn't understand before so that we will understand them, because he reveals mysteries, right? That's part of who he is. He's a Spirit of revelation. He's the paraclete. We talked about how he's the comforter, but comfort doesn't mean go, oh, Rick, I just want to make sure you feel good. Comfort is to come alongside and help you move forward into your destiny. And a lot of times, that has a nice, swift, kick, hard, tough love aspect to it. See, our American culture has comfort saying, well, you'll be okay. It's okay. You just stay right where you are, and you kind of whine in your stuff, and it'll pass. That's not Holy Spirit comforter. Holy Spirit comforter helps you move out of your pit and moving forward. He is also the Spirit of truth. Anytime you encounter the Spirit of God, you're going to encounter truth, because God is a God and he cannot lie. He's not a man. He can't lie. So his spirit has to be a spirit of truth. And there's a difference between facts and truth. There is a fact that Jean Ann has been diagnosed with ALS. But the truth is that she is healed, she's victorious, she's a worshiper to live out the fullness of her days in strength, and that by the blood of Jesus, every curse assigned against her is broken in Jesus' name. See, that's truth versus fact. Your bank account may be squeaking. Anybody ever have a squeaking bank account? Like, it's barely functioning. But see, that may be a fact, but the truth is that God has given you the ability to gain wealth that his covenant may be established in the earth. His truth is that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and you are his son and his daughter. Therefore, you have access to what he has, because he's a good daddy and he does not deny to those who seek him and ask. Isn't that good? Fact versus truth. But he's also the Spirit of grace. Now, our culture has all kinds of teaching about grace right now that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Grace that says you can do whatsoever, whensoever, howsoever, and you're still okay. That contradicts the Spirit of truth. It contradicts the Spirit of holiness. Grace is God's divine enablement for you to be and to do all that he created you for. It's his Spirit of grace. He graces us to do what he calls us to do. I told the Lord at 15 I would never speak in front of people. Let me do anything. And he said, ha, watch. Stripped away everything else, got me down to nothing, and said, here's my grace. Now walk in it. We have to have the Spirit of grace. I mentioned he's the Holy Spirit. He's totally altogether set apart. He's unlike any other. He's pure and undefiled. He is not like any other God, anywhere, anytime, anyhow. He is altogether unique. And when we come to him by the blood of Jesus, he says to us, be holy even as I am holy. And if he's given us the Spirit of grace, then he enables us to be holy as he is holy. See, he's holy. when we begin to walk in that holy, unique, altogether lovely part of who He is, the world is going to be astounded, because we will be living so different than the world around us with such the beauty of holiness that those that are caught in the deceptions of the world and the pain of the world and the agony of sin are going to go, there's a beauty about you. There's a beauty about you. I want to get up close to that. What is it about you that's allowing you to walk through the troubles you're going through and you've got peace? This stuff's real. This isn't theory. I could tell you so many stories about God coming in and saying, I'm going to empower you to walk through the deep, dark valley of destruction and show forth my glory in such a way that they'll see the beauty of my holiness. You've got the same stories. Press in. It's available. God is not a respecter of persons that He should lie. He will give to you what it is you need if you simply say, yes, Lord. There's no limitation. The Holy Spirit is also the carrier of the power of God. He is the one who brings the power of God and makes it real in our midst. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. I would say that's a carrier of power. Holy Spirit, empower. So tonight, I thought we were going one direction. The Lord says, I need you to do one more thing before you go into really activating the works of Holy Spirit among us. Because you've got to understand the works of the Holy Spirit before you can be activated to move in the works of the Holy Spirit. And I'm calling it works of Holy Spirit rather than gifts of Holy Spirit, because as the charismatic church, we have pursued the gifts of Holy Spirit rather than the person of Holy Spirit. And when you pursue the person of Holy Spirit and allow Him to have free reign within your life, guess what? All the gifts are there resident for Him to use and do as He wills. So we've got to understand His works. And the other piece of understanding His works is so that when we hear a gift being manifested, when we understand His works, we can recognize, is that a true work or a false work? Is that a true gift or a false gift? Because if the gift being manifested doesn't line up with the person of Holy Spirit and the work of Holy Spirit, then you have to say, I'm not so sure that's really a manifestation of Holy Spirit. A manifestation, yes. And Satan comes appearing like an angel of light. And Scripture talks a lot about false this and false that and false apostles and false prophets and false teachers. And he would not spend as much time talking about the false if there wasn't true. He talks about false tongues, but he wouldn't talk about that if he didn't talk about true. But the body has got to move into a place of rightly discerning between what is right, what is true, and what is false. So we're going to look at a few of the attributes of the works of Holy Spirit, because we want to move in His works for the glory of our King, don't we? I want to be a part of whatever Holy Spirit's wanting to do in the earth today. I want to be a conduit, because that's all we are. We are a conduit. Like, think about the water hose in your backyard, okay? We're simply a hose and the water runs through it. What happens if that hose gets dirty and gets dirt on the inside? When the water comes out, you can't drink it, right? That's why we have to get clean, because this conduit, this vessel, needs to be pure so Holy Spirit can work through us. So the first thing I want us to look at tonight as a work of Holy Spirit is the work of conviction. John 16, verses 7 through 9 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler of the world is judged. See, it's not our job to convict somebody of sin. But it is our job to be a conduit of Holy Spirit in such a way that Holy Spirit does the convicting. That means we don't always sugarcoat things. You've got to speak truth because truth divides. Truth reveals. Truth convicts. He also convicts of sin and of righteousness. See, when we get a revelation of the righteousness of God, that he has invited us into a union with him to make us righteous. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to run there. That I want to be in right standing with God. That there is a greater reality than what we're living here on the earth. See, Holy Spirit reveals that. He convicts us of that, that this isn't the only reality we're supposed to live in. Because I look around this room, we're going through some stuff. As a ministry, we're going through some stuff. But the conviction of righteousness says this, the game's not over yet. Your journey's not over yet. There's righteousness. Keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. Pressing in because there's something more that I want to release to you. That conviction gives you hope. If I didn't have that conviction of righteousness that is yet to be revealed, there are some days I just say, I'm not getting up. But he also convicts of judgment. He convicts to let us know that God has released righteous decrees that are judgment. And they're there. They're eternal. They're forever. They're not changing. And whether that judgment hits us or not is based on where we line up with his plumb line. Did y'all catch that? See, his judgments don't change. God is judging wickedness, right? That judgment isn't going to touch you in a negative way if you're lined up with the plumb line of God. But if you're lined up with the plumb line of God, what God has released as a judgment, a decree of what his intent, what his will, what his purpose is, what his heart says, then when that judgment comes to you and you're lined up under the plumb line, it turns into a blessing. Somebody needs to really get that one. See, we have worked on the idea of judgments being a negative thing and always bringing a correction, always bringing a discipline as in punishment. But the conviction of judgment is a discipline to bring us into alignment. It is a discipline to disciple us. It's not to punish us. I want to come under the judgment of God today that adjust me so that when I stand before him, before the throne, and he releases those same judgments, it's all under the blood. And I've already adjusted, and I'm not in a place of having to receive some kind of correction at that point, some kind of discipline that is punishment at that point. I want to be in a place that I've responded to Holy Spirit in his conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment so that the Lord God Almighty is pleased to release his intent. See, sometimes we think of judgment only as in the here and after, but that's today. This is, takes us all into the courtroom that we've been studying about operating in the courtroom of heaven and intercession. See, the Holy Spirit is constantly releasing these convictions. Because all he can do is release what the Father's saying, right? Jesus didn't speak on his own. Holy Spirit doesn't speak on his own. He only speaks what is proceeding from the Father. So when he comes and releases those convictions to us, and we say, I agree, We just operated in the courtroom of heaven and gave Father God, the judge of all, the right, the permission, if you will. Now, that sounds strange saying it about God. But see, God cannot go counter to what he's already decreed. So when we come into an agreement with what is being said out of heaven, he can release all the blessings of God upon you. They're restricted when we're out of sync. So line up and receive the blessings. So he is responsible for the work of conviction. He is responsible for the work of guiding into all truth, John 16:12-13. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. See, we got to tune our ears to hear the one who reveals truth. Because how many of you know that people will tell you what they think you want to hear? Has anybody ever had somebody tell you what they thought you wanted to hear? And did you know that your own desires can so project on somebody that it can cause them to tell you what you want to hear? It's called manipulation, but it does happen. Anybody else surprised at that? No, it's not. We're real aware of that. Have you ever walked into a room where somebody's attitude shifts the atmosphere of a room? That's tempting to get people in the room to act the way or say the way they want you to. But see, the Spirit of truth comes in and he speaks truth. He reveals truth. He will take you into revelation. Jesus said, I've got things I want to say to you right now, but you can't bear it yet. There are things in our lives and in our journey with the Lord that he'll say to us, there's something I want to tell you, but you're not ready yet. Just keep walking with me, and I'm going to give it to you later. Because he knows the right time to speak revelation to us, whether it's about sin or whether it's just a fresh new revelation about who he is. There are some things that God has said to me in recent days that if he had told me 25 years ago would have been detrimental to me and to others. And if you're honest, the same is true for you. Because he knows where our maturity level is. He knows where we have the capacity because we've said yes to other things he said so that the capacity to receive revelation increases. Somebody say, thank God for his truth. Holy Spirit is about the work of glorifying Christ. And before I read the scripture, some of us were raised in churches that never talked about the Holy Spirit because we're only supposed to talk about Jesus. I was one of those. Because to talk about Holy Spirit would be somehow in that mindset taking away from Jesus. Well, it's such a contradiction because one of the primary works of Holy Spirit is to glorify Christ. In fact, I would suggest to you we can't really glorify Christ without Holy Spirit. You just can't. John 16:14-15 says, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. See, Holy Spirit becomes this instrument of taking what is the Father's, passing it through Jesus, and giving it to you. I just love that. That Holy Spirit comes and he pulls back the veil and allows us to see Christ in ways we've not seen him before. Allows us to see Christ in his humanity, filled with the Holy Spirit and living in power. How's that for a revelation? Allows us to see Christ high and exalted. allows us to see Christ as the suffering servant, allows us to see Christ as the shepherd that comes along and woos us in and leads us into green pastures, allows us to see Christ, get this one, who goes into a temple and overturns the money changers' tables and glorifies him all along the way. See, that's the work of Holy Spirit. Another work of the Holy Spirit is it's his work to lead us. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now that, it's very interesting in this passage that the word sons there is the word weos. It's H-O-U-I-S, I think. Is that right?
H-U-I-O-S.
See, I just got my vowels mixed up. Say that again so they have it.
H-U-I-O-S.
Weos. And that is the Greek word for a mature son. It's one, when the Jewish culture would take the son out into the town square, and the father would put a signet ring on their finger and a robe on their shoulders and sandals on their feet, and then proclaim, when this one speaks, it's as though I speak. See, we're all children of God. But we grow into being weos. The weos is that maturity that we come into where God says, you can speak, and it's as though I'm speaking. That's humbling, isn't it? That God would invite us into such a place. See, that's the work of Holy Spirit, to lead us into that place. To lead us into a place where it said, this one's led by the Spirit of God. Because when you're led by the Spirit of God, it will be recognized, it will be affirmed. You don't have to tell somebody, I'm being led by the Spirit of God. In fact, one of the disqualifiers, at least in my little book, is if you start telling people, because by your fruit, you'll be known. And it's not about age, folks. Because I'll tell you, this one over here is demonstrating some fruit of weos among us as a 14-year-old. See, it's not about age. And there's been times when I've watched this one and she's demonstrating more weos than some of us that are much older. Holy Spirit, lead us that we might walk as sons of the Most High God. The Holy Spirit, his work is a work of helping. John 14:26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. How many of you will say amen to bring to my remembrance things that have been said? I mean, there are times I just have a brain freeze. Anybody else? I know part of that's me being 50-something another, but I'm just declaring Holy Spirit dwells inside of me and he can bring to my remembrance all those things that I need to know. Amen. And part of that is connected to us studying to show ourselves approved, a workman that does not need to be ashamed. So you got to get the word in you. But do you know he can also bring to your remembrance things you haven't known before? Because he's a good God. And because he goes, this is what you need right now. And so Holy Spirit inside of you is going to lead you, is going to help you in your infirmity. He's going to help you when you don't know what to do. He's going to come alongside and strengthen you when you're about to fall. He's the helper that comes alongside to help you take that next step. Anybody else ever feel like, I don't know how to take this next step? I can't see the step in front of me, and I just have to step out in faith. Holy Spirit, help me. See, he is the helper who comes alongside. Another one of his works is the work of revelation. Luke 2:26. I love this. It's of Simeon. And it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That he had spoken to this faithful man and said, I just want to give you a secret. You're not going to die yet. You're going to see the consolation of Israel that you've prayed for. You're going to see a breakthrough. There are some of you in this room that the Spirit of Revelation has spoken some things into your spirit that you're not seeing yet. Adopt a spirit like Simeon and say, God, I choose to believe what you've revealed. Because when you have that revelation of what God has said, when the going gets tough and everything looks like it's falling apart, you have the Word of God to stand on. We're going to pray for some folks at the end of the service. One of them is Mike Shaley, and he's in the hospital right now. There's some things going on in his body, not even fully sure what it is. We're connected with them. They're over in the west gate of the city. But several weeks ago, the Holy Spirit said to him, I'm bringing you through to health. That's a revelation he can stand on. That's a revelation he can war with. That's a revelation that we can join him, our faith to his faith, and pray with. Because he has a word of revelation, even like Simeon. And if you look at the days in which Simeon was living and Jesus was born, it wasn't a pleasant time. And yet he had a word of promise that he would see the Messiah. Another passage for that one is 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Holy Spirit searches out. Holy Spirit will search out what's on the inside of us. Sometimes what he reveals is what's on the inside of us. And sometimes it's pretty and sometimes it's quite ugly, isn't it? But the Holy Spirit also searches out the deep things of God. He searches out the deep things of the Word of God. And all of a sudden you're reading along a passage you've read dozens of times. And all of a sudden, it's like that verse turns into a skyscraper and you can't miss it. That's the Holy Spirit of revelation, releasing understanding and knowledge and insight into the situation that you need at that moment, pulling back the veil so that you can see more of who our God is and who we are in him. His work is also a work of teaching. Luke 12:11-12 says, Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates in authority, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. See, sometimes he teaches us little by little, because you can look at 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as he has taught you, you will abide in him. See, Holy Spirit comes along and teaches. Even when I'm up here teaching, the real teacher for each one of you is the Holy Spirit inside of you, bearing witness with what is being taught, whether it's me or somebody else or a CD you're listening to, or radio, or whatever it is, the Holy Spirit in you is the teacher who confirms and affirms what is being said. But he is also the one who takes you and leads you through the teaching so that you might learn when you're reading the Word yourself, when you're praying, when you're seeking after the Lord. He's the one that teaches and brings to remembrance. And sometimes he does it over a process. But sometimes we're in the middle of a crisis. And everything's coming against us and we don't know what to say. In that moment, he teaches us how to respond. In that moment, he says, shh, don't say a word. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to hear. Other times he says, I want you to ask this question. Sometimes he says, I just want you to make this statement. Or hand them this. See, it's his teaching that he shows you how to move in a way that opens the heart up for his truth. See, we got to learn how to be taught by Holy Spirit each and every moment. Another one of his works is the work of empowering. Luke 4:14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went through all the surrounding region. In Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power when Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. See, we receive power to be witnesses. We don't receive power like Simon wanted to buy power so that he would get a name for himself. We receive power to fulfill the commission and the mandate of the Spirit of the living God. But we are empowered by Holy Spirit. Romans 15:18-19. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. See, Paul was empowered by the Spirit to accomplish the mission that God had sent him on. The Holy Spirit is also about the work of sanctification. It is a work. It's a process. It's a transforming us holy, 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 so that we get holier by the day. Anybody else want to get holier by the day? I sure do. I want my mind renewed. I want my actions renewed. I want my emotions renewed. I want the heart motivations of my life made more holy. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. See, we have to believe, but we also have to be sanctified. Because you can believe all day long and it not change your life. Do you believe that? How many people do you know, or how many times have we ourselves been those people that we knew a lot of truth, but we had not allowed the sanctifying power of the Spirit to cause that truth to become flesh and blood in us, incarnate in us? See, in the American church, probably one of our greatest detriments is that we know too much. We've had greater access to teaching and the Word of God than any culture in all of history. We've got more books. Most of us have multiple Bibles in our home. We now have the internet that we can get on and we can read multiple versions. We can study out the Greek and the Hebrew. We can read any commentary you want to read. And yet we have not allowed the sanctifying process of that truth to transform us more and more into the image of Christ. We've got seminaries that are overflowing with knowledge. And yet where's the transformed life? Fortunately, some transform. But as a culture, where's the transforming power of the sanctifying Spirit of God? Because if you're sanctified and you're changed, where you go should bring about change. He is about the work of intercession and prayer. Romans 8:26, and y'all all know this, but we got to get it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, there are times we just flat don't know what to pray. There are situations we can't break through our mind, our will, and our emotions to pray what lines up with the Spirit of God. Because we've got our opinions, we've got our emotions in it, we've got our desires in it, we've got everything that's cluttered in our soul. And sometimes the problem is just bigger than what we're intelligent enough to get to. But the Spirit of God praying through us, he knows what the Spirit needs to pray. And sometimes in protection, God will have you pray over situations only in the Spirit for a season, so that you don't get your stuff mixed into the prayers. And really, sometimes on those people that are closest to you, that's a safety net. Because if you start praying for somebody that you're real close to, and you don't want to see them suffer, and you don't want this, and you don't want that, and you don't want this, and you don't want that, you'll start praying your opinion and your heart desire rather than what the Spirit is saying. And one of the things I want to challenge you with is to spend more time praying in the Spirit. And sometimes praying in the Spirit can be praying in tongues, and sometimes the praying in the Spirit can just simply be groaning. Oh. But the other thing I want to challenge you with is ask the Holy Spirit if he would give you the interpretation of the prayer you just prayed. It's very interesting to me that Tuesday night, Beverly started praying in the Spirit up here at the end of class. The minute she started, I knew that was not just a prayer in tongues. That was a prophetic proclamation. I mean, it hit my spirit like a bowling ball somebody threw at me. And the Lord immediately started giving me the interpretation. What surprised me was that as I gave the interpretation and the power of it came, because, you know, sometimes when this is happening to you, you're nothing but a vessel. You don't have time nor forethought to think through what's coming out of your mouth. You simply are. But when it was done, the eruption of praise in the room astounded me. Because the interpretation of what she had released in tongues triggered faith and praise inside of God's people. When Farnese came up here and was praying in tongues over the worship, it was the same thing happened. See, that was tongues and interpretation that was happening. I wasn't expecting it, but I heard the sound. See, God's activating something among us so that we move into the works of Holy Spirit, praying in Holy Spirit, then moving into understanding. Years ago, I was praying for a gentleman who had cancer. And the Lord had given me a vision of what was going on with this man, and yet had not given me the strategy to know how to pray it. So for months, I just prayed in the Spirit. That's all I knew to do. Sometimes you do that, and it's just because, seriously, I don't know what else to pray. And then the day came when it was time to break it. It was time for the breakthrough, and I went in with a small group of intercessors, and the way God released the strategy was we prayed in tongues, and God gave the interpretation. We prayed in tongues, God gave the interpretation, and because he had shown me an octopus. So we had the 8 tentacles were identified, and then the body, and it was all revealed through tongues and interpretation. And when we dealt with what was revealed through prayer of tongues and interpretation, we released that word and the man was healed. And he lived for 19 years? It was Steve. Morris. Like 18 or 19 years, he lived and saw his children raised to be young women. Still sad, still breaks my heart that he passed away this year. I still don't understand it. But I know that at that moment, God released, through the power of his Holy Spirit and a whole company of people praying for this man, released healing grace to raise his children. Praise God. Let's do it again. Holy Spirit is also about the work of freedom, of liberty and freedom. 1 Corinthians 3:17. Now, where the Spirit, the Lord is Spirit, where the Spirit is Lord, which we've been talking about how in the interpretation in the original Greek, it's where the Spirit is Lord, there is what? Liberty. There's freedom. I won't read all of this one, but sometime look at Galatians 5. Just read Galatians 5. If you're bound up in something that's holding you captive, read Galatians 5. It'll set you free. And it will show you where the spirit of liberty works and where the spirit of law works. Because Christ came to set us free and not to be under a yoke of slavery. And the sin of the flesh will always, 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 always put you in a yoke of slavery. This is why we keep getting these words around here of deal with our stuff. Because Holy Spirit wants us free. Because when we're free from our junk, there's no limit to what God can do with us. There's no limit to the joy. There's no limit to the fruit that we can bear. But when we yoke ourselves with the flesh, we're going to be enslaved. And we're going to be restricted. And we're going to always feel like we're having to fight our way for every little bit. Because he gave us the Spirit that we might live in liberty. Just got two more. It's the Holy Spirit to work. It's his work to speak to and through us. See, it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to us. Revelation 2:11 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." 1 Corinthians 14:1-3, "Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. See, it's by the Spirit of God that we hear what God would say to us. He wants to speak. He desires to speak. He releases and speaks to us. And the only thing that we're releasing when we prophesy is what he's speaking to us. See, it's not about let's speak for God, let's speak what God's speaking. There's a difference there. Let's don't just speak for God, but let's speak what God is speaking. See, if I've got a word for Rick, I don't need it to be what I want to say to Rick. It's got to be what God is speaking to Rick. How many of you have gotten some prophetic words over the years that you know it wasn't the Spirit of God speaking? I got one time when the person said, it's this season, these last few months that you've been walking through have been like you've been trudging through mud, and you've got a little bit longer to go through the mud, and I walked out of there going, it hadn't felt like mud, God. This has actually been a really good season. I've been in some muddy times before, but this isn't mud. This has been like great breakthrough. There's been great joy. What is this stuff about mud? And here's what the Lord said to me. He was reading your past, not your present, nor speaking into your future. He was operating out of a familiar spirit. I see, I love prophecy. Love it. But I will tell you that when we begin to prophesy out of a familiar spirit, just because we want to go, well, I got a word for them. That's why I'm real careful when somebody comes up to me and starts putting a pull. Have you got a word for me tonight? Now, if Holy Spirit gives me a word for you, I'll give it to you. But just to go, well, they asked me for one, I got to have one. I could give you one. I didn't even mean it that way. Because do you know that if you say, I want to give this person a word, you can hear something. Because the enemy will be sure you hear something. I want to be sure that my receiver is tuned to Holy Spirit. To speak to people only that which God is speaking. We're just a conduit. We're just a conduit that he speaks to and he speaks through. And the end of that 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 3 passage ends with, he who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consultation. In the voice it reads, but a person who has a gift of prophecy teaches in a way that builds up the community, draws them near, and comforts them. I like that. Builds up the community, draws them near, and comforts. The word edification is the act of building up, the act of one who promotes another's growth in their Christian grace. Isn't that great? See, when we release a word of edification, it is to build another person up. When I'm listening to people prophesy, I'm listening for these three words. Is it building them up, not in their flesh, but is it building them up in their progress, in their walk as a believer? The word exhortation is to call near, to summon, to encourage, to entreat. It can be to console, to comfort, to offer solace. But it can also, and often is, a persuasive discourse to instruct and to admonish. So when a prophetic word comes, it can be to build you up, to encourage you to keep moving forward, but it also can be a word of exhortation in the sense of the Lord almost pleading with you to come. Some of what we've been having in prophetic words here have been that kind of a word. What Victor brought forth tonight had a lot of exhortation on it, a lot of, come on, folks. I mean, it was almost, I could hear the Spirit of God pleading, don't miss this. And the final word of consolation or comfort, it's any address, whether made for the purpose of persuading or of arousing and stimulating or of calming and consoling. The root word is to speak by way of admonition and incentive, by admonition and incentive, or to calm and to soothe. See, I heard the exhortation, but I also heard this interpretation of the word comfort or consolation. I heard the Spirit of God saying, I'm giving you an incentive to come forward. Did you hear that? See, when Victor was up here, I heard the Holy Spirit saying, I'm giving you an incentive. If you'll come with me, if you'll come, you can almost see the glory increase if we just say yes. That's what hearing what the voice of God is saying. When the Holy Spirit comes and moves around us, his work is always to encourage, to exhort, to edify, to comfort, to almost entice us to move deeper into the pathway of the Lord. Because see, this was important that we look at the work of Holy Spirit, Because if we're going to operate in the gifts that are manifested by Holy Spirit, they have to line up with the work of Holy Spirit. So next week what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the gifts, which really is the gift of Holy Spirit with many manifestations, so that we can become activated. Not next week, it'll be 2 weeks. I said the wrong week. Next week, I'll tell you in a second. But in 2 weeks, we're going to do the manifestations of Holy Spirit, and we'll do some activation. Because I want you all moving, open to move in whatever Holy Spirit wants to release in and through you that will glorify the King and advance his kingdom on the earth. Next week, Mindy is going to be speaking. Yay! Teresa and I are going to Mississippi on Wednesday for a prayer initiative in Philadelphia, Mississippi on Thursday. Then we drive up to South Haven to be with Clay and Susan. And we're going to go with them and Don Lynch up into Arkansas for Friday night and Saturday night, coming alongside City Gate Jonesboro, Arkansas, to help them get further established. And I'm sure we will receive a lot in the process. And then we're driving back Sunday in time to be here, but I've asked Mindy to minister the word because she's got a teacher gift and we need to activate it. She's a powerful teacher. The way I would like for us to close tonight is, it doesn't have to last real long, but I felt very, very strongly impressed that we need to do three things. We need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for Mike Shaley and Cheryl Malone. That's Ken's wife. She's been in the hospital for almost 2 weeks now. Had surgery this last week, was in ICU for several days. She's improving every day, but it really is an attack of Python against her, where the enemy's trying to take her out. Retaliation for Ken's apostolic work. Crystal's friend, Julie, her husband, Ralph, is real sick, and we'll pray for him. And then I would like for y'all to pray for and send Teresa and I out. So I'm going to do it this way for time's sake. Who would like, feels a burden, I won't say would like, who feels a burden to come and pray for Israel? Who's carrying? Because I'll tell you, God's got to intervene on this one. Let me give you just a little. I've got an app on my phone called Red Alert that sends a little alert every time a rocket is shot into Israel. And then I've got another website that I go on that's idfblog.com, I think, and read a report daily of what's going on. Here's the deal. It's not a Jew and Palestinian issue. It's a everybody and Hamas issue. Because they're shooting rockets into their own territory. The rockets out of Gaza hit into Hebron and into Bethlehem today. And both of those are Palestinian-controlled areas. So I want to be sure we're not engaging in this in a Jew-Palestinian perspective. Because when I go to Israel at the end of the month, I'll be ministering primarily to Palestinians. In Galilee, there will be 150 Jew and Palestinian pastors gathered for us to impart into them, and I'm sure I'm going to be sitting there like, what do I have to give y'all? You're living in the middle of war zone. But to raise up a praying church that impacts the land and ushers people into the kingdom of God. You see, it's a different warfare. We can't war like we did last time. Farnese, I'm going to do so. I'm going to call on you for this one because of your connection to Glory of Zion, because I know you're carrying something on this, and that's what the Spirit of God just said to me. And then somebody who will come pray for the health issues of these three. And I'm just going to lump them together as one. Dina, would you like to do that? Okay. And then I'm just going to ask our leadership team, and Beverly, if you'll lead the charge on praying for Teresa and I to go out. Would y'all just stand, and we'll just go one, two, and then the commissioning.
Oh, Jesus, we're in awe of you, and we praise you, Father, in the midst of terror, the terrors by night, Father, we just don't even know how to say thank you for what you're doing in the middle of it all, oh God. Our heart cry is for this nation. Your people, Father, your people who are called by your name, oh God. Father, we just say raise up a standard that they'll be able to see the real God, the truth of who you are. Father, we need you in this area, Father, that as what you do in there, Father, you will be able to do in each nation of the earth. As we come together and bless the nation of Israel. Father, we also just pray for peace. There are people, Father, although they're in Israel, they've never been faced with this before. They've never had to go and seek shelter before, Father, but they're running. Father, let them run into you as they go and seek shelter. Father, we say that you will be found of them, Father, as they go underground, Father. We know that this is an example of what you've called us to do, Father, to seek you, to knock, to ask you, to run into that secret place, oh God. Father, you've called the whole nation to now run. Father, but we hold hands with them, and we say, do not be afraid. Look up. Your redemption is nigh, for the Lord has need of you. You are not forgotten. This will not be the same story. Father, we know that you're doing something different in the heavenlies over them. Help us to open our eyes to see the changes of what you're doing, Father. We've even heard about different weather patterns changing over the nation, Father. We decree that we will hear a word, a sound that comes from Israel that will be a charge for the rest of the nations, Father, to seek you. Father, it's all about you. It's all about you. This is a war about you, Jesus. And you've called us to come together, Father, to call on your name, to worship you, to hold the banner of truth high and lifted up, oh God. Father, we will not stand in fear, but we will seek your face and come alongside and pray what you give us to pray, moan what you give us to moan, oh God. Decree and declare, Father, what you give us. For this is an hour that you are calling us to our knees, calling us to be with you, Father. And we will not be ashamed to say, Jesus, the Messiah, has come. Jesus, the Messiah, has come. Over this land, Father, it all belongs to you. We say, do what you want to do. Bring it where you want it to be, oh God, and show us how to see differently, God. We praise you. We know that you have it all worked out, and you just give us a little insight into what you're doing, Father, as you allow us to pray. We're so grateful as we call on your name, Warrior Jesus, King of Kings, Master Savior, the soon coming King. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we pray that your peace would surround Israel as a shield. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would brood over that land and cause thousands upon thousands to run into the stronghold that is Yeshua. Lord, that those that abide within that land would come to know that you are the Messiah, Jew and Gentile alike, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over the territory. We plead the blood of Jesus over Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and Ashkelon and Ashdar. We plead the blood of Jesus over Hebron and Galilee and Bethlehem. We plead the blood of Jesus over Eilat. We plead the blood of Jesus over Sderot. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over the innocent children that are facing the sirens day in and day out, morning, noon, and night, being awakened from their sleep to run to the shelter. Father, I pray for the people of Jerusalem to rise up in their spirit, man, to not run in fear, to not cower. Lord, I pray for a peace upon the Jews and the Palestinians alike, that they would not look at each other as enemy forces, but that you would, by your Spirit, teach them how to rightly discern and move with you in such a way that reveals Jesus. Father, I ask you to send forth your Holy Spirit across the land, into Gaza and into the north and into the south, into Egypt, even those that are sneaking into the land to do damage, and the hidden bombs, the suicide bombers. Lord, would you reveal where the rocket launchers are? Would you reveal where the pockets of terrorism are? Would you expose the hidden works of darkness and lead those that are sent to root out, to uplift, and to completely destroy that which is set to destroy out of season? Father, we say the devil comes to change times and seasons, but we declare over the land of Israel, your time, your time, your time, your time, that your kingdom is revealed. Your salvation floods the land. For there is no other name by which men must be saved but the name of Jesus. Let the name of Jesus be famous all across the land of Israel. Completely transform the Gaza Strip and the West Bank by your power and by your might. Let your name be praised in Jesus' mighty name.
Speaks in the court. The blood. The better time.